risk of harming themselves. Despite his intense criticism of the state of the GOP, including in a just-released book, U.S. Senator Jeff Flake says he's not planning to jump political ship.
No, no, not at all. I'm a proud Republican, lifelong Republican.
The junior senator from Arizona says his home state tends to elect independent-minded people and people who stand on principle. Flake criticized the president for calling lawmakers clowns and losers, saying it's not the way to woo Congress to one side.
That's AP Herald reporting, and this is USA Radio News.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form, specifically in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Google executives responding to an essay by one of its engineers blasting the company's efforts to hire more women and minorities. The essay posted on an internal Google forum and reported by Motherboard and posted by Gizmodo is titled Google's Ideological Echo Chamber. The unidentified male author argues Google should end its campaigns to increase gender and racial diversity and focus on ideological diversity. Over the weekend, Google's diversity VP and engineering VP sent separate messages to Google workers in which they both condemned the manifesto and defended the company's diversity efforts. Starbucks says it's not offering a discount for undocumented immigrants regardless of ads that are circulating online that it was not responsible for. The ads do announce August 11th as Dreamer Day, claiming that those here illegally can supposedly get a 40% discount at Starbucks nationwide. Starting next year, August 4th will be Barack Obama Day, at least in the state of Illinois it will be. Governor Bruce Rauner signing the measure into law. Obama's birthday will not, however, be a legal state holiday, as state offices will still be open. The measure was introduced by State Senator Emil Jones III, son of former Senate President Emil Jones Jr., who helped get then-State Senator Obama into the U.S. Senate back in 2004. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
All right, local weather here today at HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Outside our studios, 66 degrees, showers. It's raining lightly out there right now. Highs may hit 70 today. Tonight, showers and possibly a thunderstorm early in the evening, and then on the overnight, low in the 60s, chance for some more showers. Clearing up on Tuesday, high going near 80. Clear Tuesday night, low in the 50s. Sunny on Wednesday and Thursday, into Thursday night. Friday again, we'll see what happens. Chance of showers later on in the morning, high near 78. Showers on the overnight into Saturday and the weekend. At least from here, it looks like a little bit of rain, 30-40% chance a day, maybe not that much. Stay tuned for Chef Phil's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hello, welcome to the table. Chef Bill's table here at huntertonchamberradio.com. Getting in touch with you once a week, normally, to talk about food and beverages, anything on the horizon. Hope everyone had a good weekend, or whenever your weekend is. Mine happens to be Mondays and Tuesdays most of the time, but at some point we all have a chance to relax, hopefully. Enjoy a family meal, right? You can't do it every day. At least do it when you can. So what's coming up this week? Tomorrow is Zucchini Day, kind of well-timed, or summer harvest, at least in the Northeast. And like with many row crops, if you haven't spread out your plantings, all of a sudden there's this deluge of zucchini there, and everybody's trying to give it away. We'll talk about a couple of ideas for it, ways you can use it. Good backdrop for things, but also can be a fine star player in some dishes. And then the 13th is Filet Mignon Day. Filet Mignon, the most expensive cut of beef out there. And we've discussed in shows past how to take one apart and use the different parts of it. And there's videos and lots of information on that butchering. Probably the most economical way to buy it is to buy the whole tenderloin and get a couple of good meals out of it. I know in the restaurant that's what we will do. You have the center cut fillets that everybody likes, but of course you've got some medallions on either end as the fillet tapers off. And then there's some tips, sometimes the chain that runs down the side, and of course the front and the very end, the tail. Makes a nice saute, little skewers. Great for skewers. We've used them most. Ours all go into our porterhouse salad. They go into a marinade of orange juice and soy sauce and a little garlic. You could put ginger in if you like. We just do the three ingredients, no oil. It's three parts juice to one part soy. And this marinade's great because it doesn't turn the meat gray. If you're too much acid in a marinade, if you use the stronger citrus or vinegar, you don't marinate as long. You'll marinate for some flavor, but then get them out of the marinade because, again, the acid will start to almost cook the meat, denature the proteins, as it were. But also, if filet mignon is not on your radar or within your budget constraints, a couple of things get substituted. And I guess the one that people would do normally they look at the eye of the round. Oh, that looks like a filet. I can use that. And that's the one you really, that's a different muscle. It's exercised. It's lean, yes, but not very tender. Now, the eye rounds, sometimes you'll see is sandwich steaks, little sandwich steaks. And those, again, they'll be a little chewy. You can sear them rare. They're nice and round. They'll fit on a roll. We used to run for years. We ran, we called it Jake's Choice. It was on a smaller roll, a potato roll, if you will, or a pan roll. And it was a 4-ounce medallion. That's what we used to use the 4-ounce medallions for. It was kind of an upscale burger alternative. Nice steak. It's very, very tender. You don't have to do sliced. A lot of people do a sliced steak on a roll. We would just cook the medallion and serve it just as you would a hamburger. A little horseradish cream, whatever you like on the side. But now we do, we offer a boneless strip steak done similar. We put it on a garlic roll with arugula and pepper jack, and that works very well. We trim all the fat off a sirloin strip loin and cut small steaks with that. But the filet mignon sandwich was always the little upscale sandwich choice, if you will. And the price just, quite frankly, the prices just got so high that it was hard to offer it at a competitive rate, although the way other chicken and other things are going, it might come back in favor again. Who knows? But our salad has been the star, and we'll use tenderloin pieces and even sirloin pieces from the Angus strip loin, and they're marinated again in that soy and orange juice marinade, and a simple spring mix salad, a nice herb vinaigrette, some onions, tomatoes, crumbled gorgonzola, blue cheese, and steak go well together. So that seems to be the item of choice for many people. It's right portions. It's all lean meat, very easy to eat, and it's your nice. I guess the only thing that would top that off is some nice crispy potato croutons. I'm thinking of changing that up a little bit. Even little tater tots or something would be kind of cool on there. So, filet mignon, the substitute, eye round, if you're going to do a roast, eye round is nice. You have to slice it very thinly and don't overcook it. We use eye rounds in the fall when we do our sauerbraten, which is that marinated German pot roast. And in this case, we're actually pickling the beef. We want the meat to stay in the marinade for a few days. Helps tenderize and flavor it. The eye round doesn't have a ton of flavor. As I say, for nice rolled in a cracked pepper or a pastrami seasoning and roasted rare and then sliced very thinly will make you nice roast beef sandwiches. Or if you're serving it hot in a meal, you would slice the meat very thin. And speaking of chilled beef, I thought, it was filet mignon and it's still summertime. It's, cold food comes to mind, especially something you can make ahead. So we're going to explore an old recipe that I've done a couple of times, a couple of variations of. Another good substitute now, though, and watch, because meats are being renamed in the retail area, and butchers are finding little cuts of meat that are good steak substitutes for the traditional filet and sirloin and ribeye. The teres major, T-E-R-E-S, major, looks like a short little pork tenderloin, a little bit bigger around, obviously. If you see that in there, it's very tender. Not as tender, quite as tender as the filet, but very, very close, as long as you don't overcook it. You'll see it sometimes in restaurants. Maybe it'll be called a bistro steak or a pub steak. And it's round like cut medallions. And you cut them, half, three-quarter inch thick or so and sear them, cook them medium rare. Very good. Or roast them whole. They're small, and it wouldn't take a long time. And that meat's very good. The other cut that, again, and this is from the top of the blade, the shoulder section that would normally, you'd think, the chuck section, it's all going to be a little tougher meat. But these two muscles, the teres major and the flat iron looks just like it sounds. It's a rectangular, pretty uniform in thickness. It looks like there's striations of fat through, which there are for flavor. That's really probably the second most tender cut of the beef, the cow, cattle, whichever term you want, steer. And these, again, as long as they're not overcooked, you'll see flat irons on restaurant menus. It's become a little bit of a little more economical than your traditional cuts. Again, it's not round like the filet. The teres major is pretty cool. I mean, I've I've sliced that into medallions and braised it. It's okay, but it does not have the same flavor as, say, a fattier piece. The Terrace Major is fairly lean, not as lean as the filet, but would substitute very well in filet recipes. We've got to pause for a commercial break, but I'm going to just go back in time when we come back. Recipe, a little old school with the filet, and then we'll talk about some zucchini and just ways to use the Terrace Major or the flat iron, Chef Bill's Table.
Are you gathering up the tea?
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's, purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Okay, we're back at the table here. Chef Bill's Table. We're talking about an old filet mignon recipe. And comes from a person I admired as a young chef, Arno Schmidt. He was executive chef at the Waldorf Astoria beginning in 1969 through the 70s. I was young, starting out then. And he had this book called Notes from the Chef's Desk. Arno used to, now, of course, it would be easy to do what we call a blog, but he put out a publication monthly, circulation of about 7,000 in this newsletter, and again, probably more for professionals, called Notes from the Chef Diary. And then he took the book, briefly. It's not a huge book, but the recipes in it are very, very, they're high volume, meant for, again, commercial use, for 100 portions or 50 portions. But the book takes you through a year of the seasonality of the food. The Waldorf Astoria, of course, was the premier hotel in New York City. And, you know, staff of hundreds of people, many parties there, and all the, you know, the high society people would go there. Peacock Alley was called that because apparently the ladies with the fashion would kind of strut down. It was to be seen. And later operations like Four Seasons Restaurant, places like that, where people would go to see and be seen. So the Waldorf, so this book, again, takes you through seasonality probably before it was the real in thing to do, although it's funny to look back at it now. The book was published in 78, I believe, and I still have it. I was poking through it there. I was thinking of filet, and I remember this one recipe that is in the book, and it's a chilled dish, very elegant, expensive, filet Strasbourgeoise. Strasbourg, of course, home to foie gras and sausages. Foie gras, of course, the goose liver pâté. And we have the duck liver in America most of the time. Kind of fallen out of favor with some people about the feeding of the birds and this and that. But fat liver. Chicken liver, if you like chopped liver or liver pâté, would be a good substitute. But the goose liver, again, and the filet, two very expensive ingredients, were paired together in a cold dish. This was a stuffed tenderloin, so a center-cut piece of tenderloin. And you'll see most recipes out there for a stuffed filet, they call for what we term butterflying. So you have your, say, 3.5 to 4 pound piece of tenderloin with all the silver skin off it, ready to go, and then you make an incision and kind of open it up like an envelope or we call it butterflying, and then your stuffing is put inside, and it's rolled up and tied, and it gets, you know, when you slice it across, it's kind of a pinwheel effect. Flavor goes into it. Filet doesn't have a lot of fat and not a lot of flavor, so you need to do something with it. Very tender, of course, and you'll see whether it's herbs or the mushroom duck cell or even the pâté. Now, if you think of the other dish that used this, would be your Wellington. A Wellington is more, you've got the seared filet, and then you brush the outside with either the liver pâté, and again, some people use a mushroom duck cell, and then wrap it in pastry and bake it. So the flavor combination is still there. But this is kind of interesting because it's served chilled. And I don't know, it's summertime, and if you want to show off a little bit, you don't need a lot for each person. It's very rich, especially if you use the foie gras in the middle. But the technique is what captured my eye. So we've got our 3.5 to 4 pound piece of filet, skinned, of course. And instead of butterflying it open, take a long knife, make an incision straight through the center, lengthwise. Just poke a hole in it, and you have a carrot, fairly large, that's the size of this piece of tenderloin. Now you'll trim that carrot so it's uniform cylinder-shaped. You know, carrots are a little bit wider than they taper down. You want to take the section of carrot and peel it or cut it down to a cylinder that's uniform. And then you take this carrot and push it into the filet. So what it's going to do is going to create this opening that you later will fill. Now you'll tie the filet, which is always good with roasts, so they carve evenly and cook evenly. Tie it with butcher's string, just like a sausage at the intervals. Season it with salt and pepper. You have your oven at 500 degrees. You need, especially with filet, small roasts like this that are very tender, you always want the hottest possible oven. You want to cook them fast because you can, first of all, because they're tender, but also to caramelize and brown the outside. If you like a little browner, you can always start it in a big pan, sear it on the stove a little bit, But a 500-degree oven should be about 15 minutes or so, because remember now, instead of a thick piece of meat, you're not roasting the carrot in the middle. You just want this meat to be pink. So carefully check the temperature, but 15 minutes, depending on your oven, maybe 20, and it should be ready, because you take it out, it's going to cool, and filet, of course, can be very rare and still be very tasty because of the lack of fat in it. So we use it for tartare and tataki's, things like that. So you have your filet now is sitting out, and you let it rest, let it cool down a little bit. You don't want to put the pâté in there hot. Now, we used to buy the pâté. It used to come years ago in a tin that was a cylinder shape. And if that's something that you want to use, it would be the easiest way. You want that well chilled, by the way. So you have this cylinder about the same diameter as your carrot. And what you're going to do is when you open it, of course, you open up either end of the tin, and you just push it into the hole that's left by the carrot. You're going to take the carrot out of the center of the filet and push this pâté in there, chilled. Now, once the pâté's in there, then you're going to wrap the filet. You can tie it again if you like, but just at least wrap it well in plastic or parchment to make it compact, and then it has to go back in the refrigerator and get well chilled. You want everything to set up in there. You've got your roasted meat, and you want that to pâté to kind of stick to everything in there, because you're going to slice this later. Now, if you're not into the canned pâté, if you don't, if you want to make your own, I would say make your own chopped chicken liver, which I've done. But make sure that, and I'm sure if you're not using the schmaltz or the chicken fat in there, you want to put a little bit of unsalted butter blended in when you're making this pâté. It enriches it, needs a little fat to it. And also, if you push that into the filet, the hole that you've left with the carrot, it'll be a little soft, and as it chills, it's going to firm up. You want this to be fairly firm. You could do it with a mushroom duxelle, which is your finely chopped mushrooms. I always pulse them in a processor. For this, you might need about a pound of mushrooms. And we like to cook those in a little butter with minced shallot. Salt and pepper, you can keep the seasoning simple if you want, or put a little thyme in there. And once they've given off their liquid, the pan will get a little dry. We add some white wine and cook until that wine evaporates. And then I add a little bit of heavy cream, and then let that cook till it's nice and thick. And again, this is going to be, when it's warm, it's going to be kind of smooth. As it chills, it's going to firm up. And with the heavy cream reduced in there, again, whip in a couple of pats of unsalted butter for good measure, and this mixture will firm up well in the refrigerator. Again, don't put it in the meat when it's too hot. Let it cool off. You can still work with it. I've done this. Pack it in that hole that's left by the carrot, and then seal up the filet and chill it down well. Not just a couple, 3 hours. You want to, you really want to go 6 to 8 hours or overnight. So again, this is a make ahead type deal. Now, when you're ready to serve, simply unwrap the filet. Now, out of this 3.5 to 4 pound piece, you should get at least 10 slices. You don't need it to be huge pieces. And at the Waldorf, they would serve this with a little bit of watercress garnish. I would say this would be a nice with a side. You could have a watercress or arugula salad, something a little peppery, something with a little, little spice to it. And what they would do is brush the piece with chilled aspic, and that's the gelatin that's left after meats cook or fish. You can make it, I guess probably at that time you could use jellied consomme. That was a big, gelatinized things were big in the 60s and even still into the 70s, I think. They were just all kinds of, you remember the old carrot salad with the orange jello and lime jello, all these things had even vegetables in it. You know, kind of the little take on the tomato aspect that the French would make. So you've got this consomme, as it were, clear, nice beef broth. We used to make it at the Lake Placid Club. We always had consomme as one of the soups. And then you add some gelatin. There's some natural gelatin in there, but if it's not, when it's chilled, it should be like Jell-O. If not, add a little hydrated gelatin to it, soak it, and stir it into the warm, just like if you're making Jell-O, and let it chill. Add a little Madeira to it, a little fortified wine. And some of this gelled consomme would be brushed onto the cold meat. Of course, right away it's going to gel up, and that would add some more flavor to it. Probably nowadays, you know, that's a lot to go through. I mean, again, this was for elegant presentation, get that nice sheen on everything. Cold food was often presented that way with some of the gel. You know, we used to do it with poached salmon. I talked about salmon last week. You'd take it out of the water, the whole salmon. You go, you need the bones for this. And that little bit of liquid that would run off would, as it chilled, it would get firm. And we used to take that and cut it into little diamond shapes and kind of sprinkle that around the chilled salmon. And, of course, melts in your mouth, and it had that nice salmon court bouillon flavor. So this is the same with the beef. You're going to brush it with that if you like. But I would serve, you know, probably a little zippy dressing, whether you could do, you know, something with tarragon. If you're using the duck cell, you may want to take it in another direction. Blue cheese would always work. But serve this with some kind of salad, nice peppery greens, and I don't know. It just seemed like it's cool to say I've done this, I've made it before. It's to be served chilled, and I just thought that drilling out the hole makes much more sense than butterflying. You've got this nice round cylinder of a roast with a nice round cylinder of the stuffing running through it. So if you know, it'll test your skills a little bit, but the results are well worth it. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
North Korea singling out the United States as the instigator behind the latest round of stinging UN economic sanctions, saying in a statement, there is no bigger mistake than the United States believing that its land is safe across the ocean. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says all the members of the Security Council spoke with one voice.
I think there should be no question in anyone's mind as to the common view held by everyone on that Security Council as that being the ultimate objective.
Tillerson saying that shared objective is to get North Korea to finally stop developing intercontinental ballistic missiles and nuclear weapons. Baseball great Don Baylor died overnight at 68 of cancer. He played 19 seasons in the majors, and he was also manager for the Colorado Rockies and the Chicago Cubs. This is USA Radio News.
Attention all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty. Because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer. Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places, and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Men's Liberty has made both mine and my husband's life easier.
As a urological surgeon, I highly recommend Men's Liberty. It's simply the best option available, and I've seen how it changes lives.
Men's Liberty is covered by Medicare and most major health insurance plans. Say goodbye to painful catheters, expensive diapers, and embarrassing accidents, odors, or infections. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. Call 888-827-7549. That's 888-827-7549. 888-827-7549.
Back at the table, Chef Bill. We're back live. Yes, so Filet Mignon Day. If you want to go something similar, of course, that look for those little terrace majors there. They may come with the silver skin on. You have to take that off, but worth a little bit of butchering. Gives you a very, very nice tender cut of meat. Again, don't overcook, but any of your filet recipes or medallion recipes, favorites, or just a simple sandwich, you could definitely use these for. And again, with the flat iron. Now, something else, I know Arno in his book, they were talking about roasts, about banquets, and they would do filet mignon steaks, and those seem to do well, a thick filet, because they can hold up well to cooking a lot of them at once and transporting them. They would usually do silver service, so everything went out in platters of 10, and then the captain, the waiter, would plate it up at the table. This way, instead of plating up, you know, a meal at a time, you might have two or three plating lines. They would send out, every time somebody came out, it was enough food for 10 people. It was called silver service, and they would do it at tableside. So you need a lot of wait staff for that in front of the house, but you don't need as many people in the kitchen. And you can serve 1,000 guests very, very quickly. This is what the size of the parties. I know when I worked at Lake Placid Club, we could do up to 1,000 people. And every start of every summer was the Rotary Convention, and they would fill the place. That was kind of the opening, the kickoff, if you were, for the summer season. So a lot of staff would be hired, and then, you know, it would get whittled down after that for the regular season. But I remember serving three meals a day to, you know, anywhere 800, 900 to 1,000 people. And you need planning, you need coordination, and you want to make sure that people are fed in a timely fashion. There's nothing worse than being at a party where you're served, the first table served is finishing up, and the last table hasn't even been served yet. I'm sure we've all been there, and you know it's there's ways to do it that you want to expedite that as quickly as possible. So in our kitchens, of course, professionals, the food's got to taste good and look good, but also the service does have to be timely. So prime rib, another roast. When I was growing up, you know, the young chef, that was the big banquet. Prime rib is great because people can look at it. Oh, yes, that's the temperature. It's medium rare, medium. Very easy to serve that way. Steaks are more difficult because you don't know until you cut into them. Sirloin steaks maybe could overcook a little bit faster if you're trying to cook too many at once. Fillets hold up a little bit better. Roast tenderloin, of course, is nice for carving, prime rib, but the filet of sirloin is what we call it, roast sirloin. And I would do this occasionally in hotels, depending on the, we always had to have a roast beef item on, so if the ribs got too expensive, I'd switch to just roasting a whole strip, which is great. I used to do tenderloins on Christmas. Now, you know, a roasted strip, skin all the fat off of it, just like you would a filet, and cooks very quickly, and you can slice it thick. It's nice and tender. It's the same as your New York strip steak, but as a roast, it's kind of a little different. So another thing that's come up, the filet of sirloin, and we've done this over at Polytech for Raritan Valley Community College. If we serve beef steak, we'll take the whole strip loin and skin it down, take all the fat off, and then cut it the long way into three sections, and then cut across into medallions that look similar to a round piece of filet mignon. Now, I've done this with our certified Angus strips, and you need to buy a good thick steak. So probably you want a steak that's over a pound. If you're getting a boneless strip steak, you're going to have a little bit of fat on it you have to take off. So if you want to end up with your 7 or 8 ounce piece of filet mignon-like steak, you know, you'll need, you know, maybe a as much as a pound, you know, 18, 20 ounces thick steak, and take all the fat off and then cut it into two sections. Now, the thinner, there's part of the strip that may taper down a little bit. If you like roll it together. Beautiful thing, of course, wrapped with bacon. You know, used to wrap fillets with bacon. You know, some people say you're barding them, you're larding them to give it some fat, but also because you want to make the cuts look uniform. So with the strip, one side might be nice and round, and then the other part may taper a little bit so that, you know, you wrap them with bacon, put a toothpick in them, and you can cook these just like you do fillet. My favorite still with leaner steaks, I like, the char flavored from the open broiler. Ours are the charcoals underneath, and you have your upright broilers that steakhouses use. The cast iron pan for me, if you want the good sear, a little bit of clarified butter. I mean, there's nothing better for getting a steak with nice caramelization. Start it in the pan, flip it over, finish it in the oven. So it's a little bit slower than the high intensity of the broiler. You don't get too much burn on it, and just get less shrinkage too. So if filet mignon, I mean, if you're taking strip steaks and taking the fat off them, you're going to, it's a little costly, but certainly a little more flavor than the filet, just as tender. You can eat them the same way, and good option for that. So filet mignon or the things that we may substitute. Now, zucchini, our other holiday. What do we do with all this zucchini? We count the ways, right? And people, we end up shredding it. You make the zucchini bread. If you like shredded zucchini, we use it in our vegetable slaw, which is kind of more of a health slaw. It's a vinaigrette. We use the rice vinegar instead of mayonnaise. And you can, do the cilantro thing, parsley, some nice herbs, a little bit of sugar to balance out the vinegar, but shredded zucchini and yellow squash do very well in that, along with some carrots. We actually grate peppers. Jicum is always nice. In the fall, we might use turnip. Always something you can add to this vegetable slaw, and along with some cabbage, of course. And you could use regular green cabbage. You can mix it with red. You could use the Napa cabbage for a little softer texture. It's very good. Very good on a sandwich or as a nice side dish, especially if you're having fried foods or rich foods. You may want something a little acidic to cut the fat. We've also done, if you know about rusty potatoes, which are the shredded ones, done in a cake or could make individuals. I usually do it in a larger 10-inch pan and make a nice cake out of it, then cut it in wedges. But also with these potatoes, I've shredded in zucchini and even little shredded carrots. You could actually, if you don't want the potatoes, just make it with the squash. But it's a nice way to enhance a side dish. You make the roasted potatoes. You've got your oil or clarified butter. You have your shredded vegetables. You kind of pack them into your nonstick pan. Let them cook slowly. Let them brown. You have to flip them over. Easiest way is to slide it onto a plate. Then take your pan, invert it over the plate. You've got to hold the plate with a towel probably. Flip the whole thing. Then add a little bit of butter or oil and finish the other side. Season it with some salt and pepper, any herbs that you like. Makes a nice base or a side dish, cutting into wedges could be, even a good snack. The other thing to do with zucchini is use it as noodles. And you see now these spiralizers. I think you can even buy this stuff in the store already done. We always would take the zucchini or the squash and just with your swivel peeler, just shave off nice ribbons of the pasta. You can have the skin on there or not. The skin's good, kind of helps give it some nice color. Classic combination for me was always zucchini and basil, and we would do this with nice sea scallops. You could use bay if you like. They're a little bit quicker to cook, easier to overcook. But some good sea scallops, and we would saute those in a basil white wine cream. You don't even need a bechamel sauce, just a little dash of heavy cream. Just if the scallops, once they're cooked, take them out. You can always reduce the sauce and thicken it up. And with these scallops, we would add some sautéed zucchini, and it would be a nice dish. You've got your scallops, zucchini, and basil, the cream. Maybe take a little tomato concassé, which is the peeled, seeded, and diced tomato, the aroma tomatoes. You could season those lightly, but just a nice fresh chop of tomatoes if you want something. You know, we always say fly the flag, get the colors on there. Roasted peppers would add something nice to it, if you like. And we would serve this on fettuccine. The other option you could do is just use your noodles as pasta, especially if you, I mean, zucchini is a starchy vegetable, but if you want to do something, you know, gluten-free, or you just, you know, just want to use up your zucchini, make the zucchini to look like fettuccine with your peeler, and then cook it lightly. Or you can even just saute it. You don't want to do it too much. You don't want it to fall apart. And use that as your pasta with the scallops and the basil, white wine, cream. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll look at a couple of other ideas for zucchini at Chef Bill's Table.
I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Are Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Down another hour here at Chef Bill's Table. See if the rain's let up yet outside. So zucchini, another way to get in a salad. Nice thin julienne zucchini and summer squash. And we like to remove the seeds. If you're using a mandolin or Japanese vegetable cutter, of course, you can get some nice little juliennes, but you can also work with the knife. They say to get noodles, you can just use the peeler. But with romaine, zucchini and yellow squash should be a nice salad with a vinaigrette. So romaine, you could actually julienne the romaine if you want, not tear it into the leaves. But you have these, the julienne squash, make sure you soak them in ice water for a while. You want them to crisp up a little bit. I think part of it is zucchini. It's not really crunchy like a carrot or a pepper. And, you know, it's a little bit soft. So you want to crisp them up a little bit and serve those in a salad. The other thing, of course, coming up, I guess, this week or soon is Julienne Fries Day. And instead of French fries, fried zucchini. I remember at Italian restaurants, we always had to have the fried zucchini on as an appetizer. It was a tough dish. You really struggle to get this out properly because it's one of those, I guess, probably best eaten at home, like a part of a Frito Misto. You want to fry the stuff and drain it on a paper towel, and it's got to be consumed right away. Of course, the steam coming off of there, you know, you lose the crispness pretty quickly. So one technique that we did was, you know, you've seen it with eggplant where you salt it, a little kosher salt, it draws the moisture out, kind of concentrates the flavor. And we would do this with the zucchinis. So you can shred the zucchini thin, but you really, I think for this, because you're going to salt them and you're going to draw out moisture, you want to cut a julienne, again, on a French fry cutter, maybe it would work, but you want only about a quarter inch thick. You don't want the really thick sticks. Sometimes you'll see breaded zucchini as an appetizer, which is fine. You can do some sticks, and we would coat them in the Italian breadcrumbs, a little cheese in there. And those are, you know, they're pretty good. Of course, anything breaded and fried is good, right? So you cut these, you know, about 3 inches or so long and quarter inch square. So, again, they're like a thin-cut French fry. Get a colander, and you'll have sprinkle them with some kosher salt, toss them around, and let them drain. So you do this over a sink, or if you don't have it in the sink, make sure there's a sheet pan or something underneath the colander, because the zucchini will throw off some moisture. So you let it sit for half an hour or so. You let some moisture come out of it, and then you're going to pat them dry. Now with the salt, I mean, you're not curing them in salt. You're not soaking too much. That salt will draw moisture. If you feel it's going to be too salty, you could rinse them quickly, but then you want to make sure you've got them nice and dry. You've got some oil, right? We're going to fry them. You want your oil in your basket and your candy thermometer so you can keep the temperature correct. And we would simply just dust the zucchini with flour. They should be moist enough so the flour could stick. Even crisper, probably, if you used a blend of flour and cornstarch, would be even a little bit crisper. Don't need to add any salt. I think the zucchini, it's already salted enough. You don't need to season it anymore or season the flour. Some people like to do it more in a kind of a batter, but I think just floured is good. Again, with that little bit of cornstarch or corn flour, cornstarch especially, give it a little bit crisper texture. And drain it, cook it in small batches till they're brown. You want them nice and like cooking a French fry. And drain on paper towels and then serve it right away. Now, again, these would be good drizzled with maybe a rosemary or basil oil, or even just sprinkle some fresh herbs on top and enjoy them right away. Again, it's one of these things, make them in small batches and eat them as soon as you can so they don't get too soggy. So, a couple of zucchinis, again, and squash that are coming into play. Plenty of uses for them. Always good. We julienne them with carrots, serve them at the restaurant all summer long. We toss them with a little basil oil, and then we will heat them up with the, you know, we have the carrots are blanched. We cut them all, you know, on the vegetable cutter. The squashes, we don't pre-cook. The carrots, we cook a little bit so it's soft, and just heat it back up in some butter and chicken broth. Chicken broth we like, as long as you're not trying to be strictly vegetarian. I call it liquid salt. It's the, you know, the bouillon or the broth, the base. Not homemade stock by any means. It's more of a, for me, it's more of a seasoning. And it's a way to disperse salt through there evenly instead of trying to sprinkle. Sometimes you hit or miss. You might get a pocket with too much salt. So the chicken broth is always nice to bring back some blanched vegetables. You know, spinach, even if you're doing a sautéed broccoli with olive oil and garlic, you still want to add, you don't want it to brown too much. You want a little bit of liquid in there, and the you don't want anything too acidic with a green vegetable because it turns the vegetable that olive drab color. And so the chicken broth just seems to be that magic stuff. Next week, we're going to have, I think Pete's going to be back from the Spice Company. Apologize for that break there. We're going to have to wind up another hour of Chef Bill's Table. Enjoy the bounty of summer. If you want to try your filet mignon, but the terrace major, try the substitutes. Do a little sirloin or the terrace major or the flat iron. If you're going to have some nice tender steak, let's go for it. Again, you may not treat it as aggressively as barbecue with all the spices and the rubs and everything. Yeah, go a little bit more elegant. And if you want to play around with the technique, do that cold filet dish. Chef Bill signing off.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
North Korea singling out the United States as the instigator behind the latest round of stinging UN economic sanctions, saying in a statement, there is no bigger mistake than the United States believing that its land is safe across the ocean. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says all the members of the Security Council spoke with one voice.
I think there should be no question in anyone's mind as to the common view held by everyone on that Security Council as that being the ultimate objective.
Tillerson saying that shared objective is to get North Korea to finally stop developing intercontinental ballistic missiles and nuclear weapons. Baseball great Don Baylor died overnight at 68 of cancer. He played 19 seasons in the majors, and he was also manager for the Colorado Rockies and the Chicago Cubs. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Alaroot, otherwise known.